Okay, everybody, I think we're good to start meeting. You're all welcome to today's meeting. I just want to advise anybody who's online that we don't have any, well, we could see you. You can't see us today. Can you see us when we have the mics on?
No,
we have absolutely no visuals. But so apologies for that. Some glitch in the system, but hopefully you can hear us. Please feel free to come in at whenever you want. Thank you. Okay, members, I'd like to say, I hope you can all hear me. As I said, everyone should ensure their telephones, mobile phones are turned off or switched silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, as there are with us today, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those within the chamber have spoken. So instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Q, if you wish to ask a question. C, for a comment. P, to propose. S, to second. And please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, could we have the apologies, please?
Mr. Chairman, apologies from Councillors Devlin, I, King and O'Hara.
Sarah. Okay, and I take it there. Sorry, Councillor Fawcett, I beg your pardon.
Just as a matter of closed session item for the Moor Mountain Gateway project, that's why that's been held in closed session. It's just a project update, as far as I can see, and what the final cost of that is.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Fawcett, for bringing the Chief Executive.
Chair, it's Financial Information Organisation.
So the loss, it's so it states information relating to the financial or business affairs of a particular person and the public. So there's no particular person has been named, no business has been named, no person has been named, just the council.
If the council is the person, the body that's involved.
The council's not a private person. Publics, you could put absolutely everything into closed session then under that rule.
Okay, I think the Chief Executive wants to come further. I think the Council acts as a body, and it appears that the body itself is exempt, and it's financial information as well.
Well, just on that, you know, I've asked for legal advice on this going back to April, and I've still not received any legal advice on this matter because, as we've just heard, almost absolutely anything in the entire council, everything that we discuss is council business. So everything could technically be put in closed session. It's unacceptable.
Okay, members, we'll have to move on from that point. Thank you.
Could I just ask for clarity? Is the final amount of the Moor Gateway project going to be a figure that's made public?
All figures should be contained within the accounts of council. Payments that come out within the accounts of council.
Yeah, for the financial statements for 25-26, will this be reflected, and that's a public document.
And when will I get that legal advice waiting from April?
Sure, I can ensure that that will be provided. We have a new legal assistant director in place, and we will provide that to the next, or actually the next SCNR committee.
Yes, thank you, Casper. Thank you.
And just to be clear, the legal advice would be provided on behalf of council, not on behalf of the
Minister. Chief Executive. Okay, members, moving to item number 3, the action sheet from the audit meeting held on the 25th of September 2025. And taking page by page for accuracy first, if I may, members. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Okay, if I could have a proposer and seconder for accuracy, members. Thank you. Councillor Byrne has proposed, and could I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Councillor Bowsey. Okay, members, I also need a proposer and seconder then to approve the action sheet as well, please, members. Thank you. Proposer. Councillor Byrne, thank you. Councillor Byrne, a seconder. Thank you very much. Okay, members. Moving to item number 4, update of members' interests. Sarah, are you taking this report, or is that correct? Sorry.
It's just really for noting, and it's just to advise that as part of the audit recommendations, it was agreed that all members' forms are updated on a 6-monthly basis. So that has been done from November, and it'll be done regularly then, 6-monthly, even if there has been no update on the register or not.
Okay.
It means then it's constantly updated.
Okay, that's good to know. Thank you very much, Sarah. Any questions, members? No? Okay. Proposer and seconder, please, to note the report. Councillor Byrne, thank you for seconding. Thank you very much. Members, we'll move to item number 5, and that is the mid-year assessment of 25-26. I believe Gerard is going to take this report. Thank you, Gerard.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So this is just the mid-year assessment for 25-26, and the paper was tabled at the SDNR committee in December. For noting, so it's really there just for members' information, and happy to take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Gerard. We have Councillor Hanlon for a question. Thank you.
It's not really a question, it's more a comment. I'm just going to draw attention to the mid-year assessment of planning, and I know it's something we've rehearsed through many different committees in Council, but just looking at some of the stats that are coming through, that we have the highest number of applications as a council. Has there been any work done by officers in regards to the model of the planning department? So, like, are we, for example, on a par with other councils in terms of the resource that we have within the planning department, given that we as a council have the highest number of applications? And is that something that would maybe start to break the backlog, I suppose? And have we looked at best practices across other councils that may be performing better than Uri Mornington?
Yes, thank you, Connor.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yes, we do engage regularly across all the different councils in respect of their complement, their workload, and that's something that's ongoing, and Jonathan sits on the Chief Planner's working group. Every council saying that are different. We have different types of applications. We are a lot rural, more rural than, let's say, for example, Belfast. So it's looking at a most comparable council would be how we would look and see what our resource is and how that fits within other councils. But it's something that's ongoing. Our biggest challenge at the minute is trying to get our full complement of staff. And as you know, we have been through countless recruitment exercises to get us to a full complement. And I think you'll see within one of the reports later on that workforce planning is a recommendation coming out of one of the departments within the planning section, and that's something that we'll look at across the board.
Yes, certainly. Thank you, Connor.
Yeah, and I appreciate that update, Connor. I suppose something that we had discussed in the pre-meeting too was looking at comparable councils. It's not fair to compare us, for example, to Belfast, because it's urban, but maybe looking at the likes of Fermanagh, South Tyrone, for example, where they would have the same type of challenges. And I fully recognise, too, in regards to maybe departments and the barriers that are there in regards to, being within timescales for I don't know, special assessments like BAT surveys and stuff that that could implement us as a council too. But it's just making sure that we're keeping on top of it all. So it's good to have that reassurance around workforce, etc. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Any other questions, members, in relation to the mid-year assessment? Sorry, thank you, Councillor Bowsey.
Yeah, I agree, concur with what Councillor Hanlon has said. It is concerning that our stats, our waiting times for applications under 15-week target is still gone up. So we've got double staff on what we had 6 years ago. Questions are by the base of it. Some stats seem good staffing levels currently. I got an apprenticeship program, but now the stats are still going up. So
thank you. Bring back in Connor on that, please.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure, Ryan. I would need to go back and check the staffing complement in 2020 compared to the present day. I'm not sure if it's double. There may be some increases, but again, I can come back on that. The way the plan and statistics work, the more decisions you make, the more likely you are to sort of miss your target more often, especially when you're dealing with legacy applications and a backlog. Because if you don't make any decisions, you're not reporting in any statistics, so therefore you're not missing any. So the more applications you determine, the more likely, especially as I said with the backlog, the more likely you are, until you get over the hump of the backlog, your stats naturally will not improve. And that's why we have the struggles at the minute, because we're not getting rid of the backlog, because the number of applications coming in sometimes equals or exceeds the number of applications we're getting out. But that's not a reflection on the performance and the number of applications and the efficiency and effectiveness of the complement of staff that we have within the council. It's a different issue around how the statistics are recorded and reported.
Thank you, Connor. Looking at the two members who raised, any further questions in relation to that? No? Okay. No further? Okay, thank you. Okay, members. I do. Could I have a proposal? I know you're all right. Keep me away. Could I get a proposal and seconder for that report, please? Thanks. Hanlon? Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 6, the risk management strategy, the review of risk appetite. I'd ask Gerard to come in on this one again. Thank you, Gerard.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So the purpose of the paper is just to review the risk appetite statement for the next financial year. So it's a recommendation from an historic internal audit report that Council reviews the risk appetite statement on an annual basis. And the risk appetite statement then feeds into our risk management strategy. So SMT considered the risk appetite statement in January 26 and concluded that no changes were needed. So the risk appetite statement is included in Appendix 1 and it's just there for members' approval.
Well,
okay.
You okay?
Apologies. I think it's in closed session, but this shouldn't have been in closed session. It should have been with the risk register.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Have members any questions in relation to the review of risk appetite? No. Okay. Could I get a proposer and seconder then to approve the report, please? Mr. Burns proposed. Could I get a seconder? Thank you. Seconder would be most welcome. Thank you. Nobody, sir? Thank you, Councillor Hannan. Okay, members, we'll move on to item number 7, which is the Corporate Risk Register and the EORT Risk Directorate Risk Register. I'm going to ask Gerard, I think, to take the first one, if I may, please.
Yeah, so members, in front of you is the Corporate Risk Register for approval and then the EORT Risk Register just for noting. So the Corporate Risk Register was reviewed and updated by senior management team on the 7th of January 2026. So Council has identified 12 corporate risks, 7 which are a red, 4 of amber and 1 which is yellow. So no new risks were added to the register since the September Audit Committee. However, the senior management team are considering including the corporate risk in relation to the impacts of climate change, and currently there's a sustainability and climate change strategy and action plan out to public consultation, which is closing in March 2026. But work is going to commence in the coming weeks to develop a risk for our corporate risk register, which members will then see at the April committee. In relation to ERT then, the director of risk registers are tabled rotationally to audit committee, so four directors, so members see them once a year. So ERT risk register is attached to Appendix 3, and there's 8 risks within the risk register, and 7 of these have a risk rating which is amber and 1 which is yellow. So happy to take any questions, and members are just asked to approve the corporate risk register and note the director at ERT risk register.
Thank you, Jared. Questions, members? Mr. Bosie.
Yeah. So we now know the figure of what was spent on the Field Mourne Mountain Gateway project, but the public can't know that figure just yet. But safe to say that it is a substantial amount of money, and the vast majority of that amount is council expense. So a question for the CEO, who's not here. So perhaps for Connor. Who do you think should be held responsible for that amount of money, of ratepayers' money being wasted? A, the National Trust, B, the Alliance Party, C, the Council, or D, all of the above?
Through the Chair, respectfully, I don't think that's a question that that's for me to respond to, especially without any prior knowledge of such a question being tabled. At a committee meeting of this like, and I would ask that that response to that is deferred until I consult with the Chief Executive and maybe respond to Councillor Vizey separately.
Yeah, I think that's a wise move. Unfortunately, the Chief Executive had to take a call, she had to step out. If Connor and the Chief Executive could come back to you,
Yeah, that's understandable, just to make the point, you know, in no other work of life does that amount of money, it's that amount, sheer amount, six figures, wasted. And it's just simply noted on an audit committee paper, you know, who will be held responsible, because money, you know, how if I would answer the question personally, I would put the blame to all three, perhaps not in equal proportion, but Alliance will do what they're going to do, jump on the inward investment bandwagon one day and the environmentalist bandwagon the next day, depending on what's popular at the time. The National Trust, well, they've heard my comments to them when they sat in this very chamber a few months ago. I thought what they did was unacceptable in ripping up the memorandum of understanding. But at the end of the day, they didn't break any legal contract. And so the question has to be asked of this council, how did that amount of money be spent? And it was still only a maybe from the National Trust, and a group of directors sitting around a table in Rowallan House could, at the flick of a switch, just decide to change their maybe to a no. We had no legal guarantees on that.
Thank you, Councillor Boyce. I think I'll let the Chief Executive and Connor come back to you directly. Patrick Truesdale, you would like to come, not a member of a committee, but please come ahead there. Sorry, apologies, can't actually see you in the distance there, but please come on with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm not a member of this committee. I just wanted to make a comment and concur with what Connor said. It's extremely unprofessional to come out with something like that in the middle of a committee. I've had no correspondence from Councillor Bowsey or the DUP. If they've contacted Alliance headquarters, I've no idea of that. But if he wants to do that, if he wants to put it in writing or have a meeting to address whatever concerns he has, we're more than happy. And also, we don't do bandwagons. I've no idea what he's speaking about. But please do contact us if he needs any more information. Thank you.
For that. Councillor Byrne, if I could bring you in, Councillor Byrne, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And yeah, obviously the Chief Executive is going to come back on Councillor Bowsey's question. I just want to make the comment that the role of the Audit Committee is around proper governance of decisions that's made. And while officers are thrown in there, I've been very vocal on this project. Officers followed the direction of council, and the council voted in a certain direction based on information we were given. We already had a meeting with the National Trust and tried to thrash out wired we were on the memorandum of understanding. That really got us nowhere. But the audit committee follows was the proper governance followed, where decisions made with the right information. And we've already been through that. So I don't think it's an issue for the audit committee. But yeah, keen if the chief executive would get back with a response. But I don't think it's something that needs to be tabled here.
Thank you, Councillor Byrne, for your comments. Chief Executive has rejoined us.
I would just clarify that just back in the room. You're right, this is the audit committee, and the item under discussion at the minute is the corporate risk register. And the particular sub-item is the failure to deliver capital projects. So I wouldn't be doing my job as a councillor on the audit committee to not ask the question, how does that amount of money get spent without any legal guarantees? This committee is about mitigating risk and expenditure. And I think there needs to be some sort of investigation as to how we spent that amount of money. I don't think I need to be writing private letters to the Alliance Party to give them notice of my questions in the audit committee.
Thanks for bringing the chief.
Yeah, Chair, so apologies. I'm trying to deal with just another issue that's ongoing in the minute. Just in relation to the Mooramount Gateway, I wasn't here, but I believe the comment made was who's to blame. I don't think there's any blame apportioned in any of this. We're very clear that all governance processes have been followed. The project was a project that had been considered by council over a number of years. Indeed, prior to even the Belfast Region City deal, it formed part of the wider master plan that had been approved by council, the Mooran or the Eastern master plan. City deal provided the opportunity for funding through to enable delivery. As a result of that, the appropriate governance procedures were put in place, including programme boards and indeed reporting through the relevant statutory committees. And indeed, governance included reviewing by the departments, government departments as well. So there has been significant governance around this. Officers have followed the decisions of council in relation to delivery. And as far as risk, the risk register has always included the risk associated with the land ownership and the National Trust. That's a matter that was very clear and one that was debated and considered in some detail. And indeed, I would remind members of the National Trust's attendance at a council meeting specifically on this matter a number of months ago. The matter has also been considered by the Department for the Economy and Department of Finance, and no issues have been raised. So I think it would be rather inappropriate and unfair to look towards who is to blame. This is the corporate decision of council, one that officers have been delivering in line with governance, and one that, unfortunately, due to the concerns from the landowner, have fallen. But we are proceeding on with the delivery of the project for Belfast Region City Deal, the development of the project. And that's all I have to say on the matter.
Okay, thank you, Chief Executive. If we could move on then to proposal and seconder to approve the corporate risk register and proposal and seconder to note. Can we take the two together? Yes, thank you. Okay. Councillor Burns proposed and Councillor Burns seconded. Okay, thank you. Chief Executive. Number 8 to 10 are for noting members. Taking the reports are read. Happy to take any questions. Questions, then we can take three reports and get a proposer and seconder to note the reports. Happy to propose.
Happy to second, Councillor Brown.
Second, thank you so much. Okay, that takes us into closed business members. So items 11 to 20. Will be taken in closed business. They are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3.
Sorry, Chair. I beg your pardon. I thought you were just on item 8 there.
Were you looking for a question?
On item 9, I would like to come.
Pardon?
On item 9, I would like to
come. You want to come in? I'm sorry, I beg your pardon. I thought you'd propose there.
So it's item 9 is on relation to senior officer register of interest. I think the council is making this more difficult than it needs to be. The issue with the last report at the audit committee is that it stated the register of interest for senior officers isn't put on the council's website based on ICO guidance. And having asked for sight of that guidance, we now know that such guidance didn't exist, as I suspected. What the guidance actually states, as the report now references, in relation to chief officers, relation or information recorded in the professional element of the register should also be disclosed, subject to consideration of UK GDPR. In other words, senior officers' register of interest should be published in line with data protection. The senior management team is now saying that the entirety of that register can't be published, not in line with, but because of data protection. Once again, that's not what's in the guidance. I've been in touch with the Information Commissioner's Office, and they've confirmed to me, in relation to page 11, we expect information relating to senior officers' declarations of interest to be published. The guidance also states you should publicise which public registers you hold, Council's done that in fairness, and how the information in them is available to the public. As some of you will be aware, I've requested sight of the register for senior officers, and as of yesterday, even under a Freedom of Information request, my right to view that has been rejected because the register is commercially sensitive. The public is entitled to know, at the very least, the commercial interests of those within our council who have delegated authority to make decisions without council approval. It is the antithesis of transparency that senior council officer declarations of interest cannot be published and cannot be publicly declared, even under a Freedom of Information request. That is not declaration of interest, that is concealment of interest. And I would add this, what use is a register of interest if nobody can check it for any potential conflicts of interest? And surely senior officers deciding that their commercial interests don't need to be shared is a conflict of interest itself, wouldn't you agree?
Chair, I'm going to bring in Liam Kirk, who's our legal advisor just on this matter.
Thank you, and through the chair. Councillor Boysey, the clarification that you had sought related to declarations of interest for senior officer, it's important to always remember senior officers are not elected members. The requirements for elected members is different to officers who are employees that do have the protection of the GDPR legislation, data protection, section 75 under the Northern Ireland Act, and we must, as a body corporate representing, having employees, we must also be very careful of a right to privacy and how councillors approach that. The purpose of declarations of interest is that officers declare interests. The offence occurs when officers do not declare. That is the most important, and the scrutiny or of that by officers should be the most pivotal point of concern. If officers have made those declarations, there's no lawful requirement for anything to be published on a website. There's a register which has been accounted, and continually, as any meeting occurs, if any declaration of interest is made by an officer, it is properly recorded. And certainly, since I've been in post, I will continue to look at and review that on an annual basis. If we're aware of any disclosure that it's not been made, that should be investigated properly. So if there is an allegation or suggestion of that, it needs to follow the proper channels. The issue that I could see from the minutes of the previous discussion related to uploading onto a council website, there is no lawful basis to do so. There is guidance, which our officers, as you can see, will always try to work to the best practice of the Information Commissioner's Office website, but they are guidelines. They are documents which they say, we would like you to do this and like you to do the other. The guidance that I provided to you actually sets out a whole ream of things councils could do, but it actually ignores what the lawful position is in Northern Ireland, because it must be applied here in the first instance. And then if we can move as officers when we review for effectiveness and efficiency, then we do so. But there's no issue in relation to the declarations that I've seen, and certainly this is an issue for the Audit Committee, so I would imagine if there is concerns, it should be, this is the correct form that it should be at. But to personalise it or in any way to breach anybody's Section 75 rights would be inappropriate. But if you need further advice or guidance on it, I'm happy to sit down with you. Thank you, Elaine. That's a very fulsome, informative response and very clear, I think, as the position. And maybe if Councillor Bousy would like to take that up with Elaine directly and have a further talk about it, you'd be most welcome to do that, Councillor.
Can I follow up?
Please, you would.
Section 75 is about equality of opportunity, so I could easily use that same section to say that it should be disclosed regardless of creed, class of colour or professional position. In terms of GDPR, GDPR means that you remove things like personal addresses, their trade union status, their health status. It doesn't mean you block an entire register about somebody. It actually says here that the professional element should be published in line with GDPR. Explain this one. So the Council's own policy that we agreed at our last audit committee states, the Council publishes declaration of interest on its website for councillors and senior officers, but not for remaining staff. This is in compliance with ICO guidance. So you do or you don't publish declaration of interest for senior officers on the website, because the policy says you do, but I'm now being told we don't. Say that the ICO says that's not the guidance, but your policy says that. The ICO says that is the guidance. So that's completely inconsistent.
Mr. Bousy, I think you do make certain points, and Elaine, no doubt, would be more than able to respond, but I don't really feel that there's a good idea that this is the correct form for this particular debate. It's very detailed.
Chair,
Elaine,
if I can, just add
just briefly,
to that,
if you would, Elaine,
currently on the website, the professions, if that is for an officer or whatever professional body that they are, that is actually listed on the website. But again, it's trying not to conflate what is the lawful position, especially in relation to employees and elected members.
Okay, thank you, Elaine. I would like
to draw
nice that to
see if any of the other parties have concerns about senior officers' declarations of interest being made public.
Coming in, anybody else looking in there, sir? No. Okay, members, I think we should draw that debate, and you're welcome, Councillor Bousy, to take it up outside the chamber if you would. But I don't think we could go any further as it's an audit committee, but thank you for that. Okay, members, can we move to proposer and seconder for those three reports, please? Have we done that? Oh, did we? Oh, yeah, sorry. I'd moved on. Yes, I was going into closed business there. Thank you, sir. Items 11 to 20 are deemed restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. So if I could have a proposer and seconder to go into closed business, please. Mr. Hannan, thank you. Just to report back, whilst in committee the following was agreed. Item 11, update of audit recommendations. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Bousy, it was agreed to note the progress in implementing both internal and external audit recommendations. Item 12, direct award contracts report. On the proposal of Councillor Bousy, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to note the quarter 1, 2, 3, financial year end, 31 March 2026, update in relation to direct award contracts. Item number 13, procurement action plans. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Bousy, it was agreed to note quarter 1, 2 and 3 update in relation to procurement action plan progress. Item 14, update on fraud and raising concerns. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Bousy, it was agreed to note the following. The update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases as detailed in Appendix 1. The progress and actions arising from the NIAO internal fraud risk assessment and the update in relation to the National Fraud Initiative. Item 15, Mourne Mountain Gateway Project update. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to note the total costs incurred in relation to the Mourne Mountain Gateway Project. Item 16, report to those charged with governance. On the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Bousy, it was agreed to note the report to those charged with governance 25-26. Item 17, annual audit letter 25-26. On the proposal of Councillor Bousy, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to note the annual audit letter 25-26. And item number 18, Audit and Assessment Report 25-26, Section 95. On the proposal of Councillor Hanlon, seconded by Councillor Bousy, it was agreed to note the Audit and Assessment Report 25-26. Item number 19, Local Government Auditors Report 2025. On the proposal of Councillor Bousy, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to note the Local Auditors, Local Government Auditors Report 2025. And item 20, Summary Report. On the proposal of Councillor Bousy, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, it was agreed to approve the Internal Audit Plan 25-26. and to note the Summer NI Summary Report, including Leisure Centre Report, Economic Development and Inward Investment Report, Planning, Management of Planning Applications Report, Preparation for the Implementation of the Procurement Act Report. So, members, that just takes us to the last two items on the agenda, which are two items for noting. Number 21, Consolidated Council Allowances, and number 22, the Designation of the Local Government Auditor. I'd just like to wish Colette Keane very best in her retirement, and long may she have good health to enjoy, and wish Brian O'Neill the very best in taking over in that role. Okay, members, any questions on either of those two items of correspondence? No? Okay, we just look for a proposer and seconder to note the items. Thank you, members. So, Bousy, thank you. Proposer and just a seconder to round us off.
All right, happy to second.
Who was that?
Sorry, Councillor Murphy.
Thank you very much. Okay, members, that brings us to the end of the meeting. And thank you very much for attending today and for everybody's input. And I want to wish Elaine the very best in her new role. So good luck. And thank you all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Chair.